experienced it. This is what God wants us to learn in the depths of the love of God. There are different degrees of God's love. Some folks have a very shallow experience of the love of God. The deepest love that we know today is the love between a man and wife. That is the same depth of love, and even much more than that, that will be between Christ and his bride, and is between Christ and his bride. Every Christian is not willing to learn the depths of that love so that he can be joined unto Christ. But we can have the depths of this love in our own experience. Then we come to the height of love. That is the mountaintop experience. Now keep in mind, we don't learn the mountaintop experience or any of these other experiences all at one time either. No person is going to be able to survive just going continually through the valley. We are promised in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There are lessons that we simply cannot learn any other way, but neither can we survive if we just have that valley experience. That is why we need all four of these in order to really understand and comprehend the fullness of God's love. These mountaintop experiences are those wonderful heights when God brings us to that glorious place where we really are on top of the world. Remember when David wanted to bring the ark into Jerusalem, and they tried to bring it the way of the Philistines on a cart, and that man was smote. God smote that man for it. He would not allow that. But then they did it the right way, and they carried that ark on their shoulders on the shoulders of the priest. Then we read that David danced before the Lord. I believe that was a mountaintop experience for him, because the ark is now going back to Jerusalem where it belonged. There are many mountaintop experiences that God has for us, and they're all a glorious expression of his love for us to experience the height of divine love. Ephesians 3:19, it starts out with the word "and." A better word there is "even." Even to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The word "and" here should be translated "even," because verse 19 actually explains or enlarges verse 18. Verse 19 is the extent of divine love that God intends for us to understand. He tells us in verse 18 that we're to comprehend the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Then he explains it further in verse 19, even to the extent that we might know the love of Christ, what? Which passes knowledge. You can talk about the love of Christ, you can expound on it all day long, but it'll never top experiencing it. You got to experience it. You got to taste it. All the children of God do not know this love to the same extent. The love of God, which God intends should be in our lives, is that which we experience ourselves. So when he says, even to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, you can't reason it out. There are experiences that you're going to have that you will not be able to convey to anyone else. Why? Because they have to experience it for themselves. This is what God and Paul is saying here, I believe. I can tell people of the joy of salvation, but until they experience it for themselves, they don't know what it means. That is what he says. It is beyond, it passes knowledge. But then notice the result. I love the result. This is what God is wanting to do in our lives. The result is that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What is the fullness of God? It's the fullness of divine love. That's the subject here. That is who God is, and he wants that same fullness in our lives. Paul tells us that you might be filled unto all the fullness of God. This suggests the idea of a continuous process, a progressive and an enlarging experience. So if the Lord tarry tomorrow, you're going to experience more of the love of God. Isn't that wonderful? Continuous process, a progressive and enlarging experience. The ultimate aim of all the genuine spiritual desire is to know God so intimately as to be filled with all the glory of God, filled to the overflowing by him. By him. Here, human language fails us, for our minds are incapable of conceiving such indescribable heights of heaven. You must experience it. All we can say is that this request expresses an approximation to the supreme perfection which is begun in this life and shall be forever growing in the holiness of the future. That you might be filled. The Apostle Paul was praying that God might more fully possess us in a personal way. Why? That we might be brought to yield ourselves more completely to him. Think of the Christian being filled by and with God, not only as a dwelling may be filled with sunlight or a vessel with liquid, but completely occupied. Is it sometimes, once in a while, or can it be always? We desire that Christ should dwell in our hearts by faith, but is there any restriction on that desire? No. Is there any portion of our being marked private, reserved solely for ourselves? In other words, is there any part of our complex being not fully given up to God in Christ? Surrendered fully to Christ's occupancy and control. That is a searching question which each of us must honestly face. If there's any part of our outward life or any part of my inner man which is not fully surrendered to God, then I'm not filled with him, am I? I feel a lack, but I get more. And I feel the lack, and I get more. And I feel the lack, and I get more. In his word. Am I really yielding my entire self to him so that I am sanctified in my whole spirit, soul, and body, as 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us? That is a challenge indeed. It's challenging. But we have the next verse. It is God who will accomplish this in us. Ephesians 3:20. One of my favorite verses. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. We must apply this verse to the context, and that is divine love. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all our efforts. It is above anything we could think or even imagine in this matter of divine love. It is God who will put this same divine love in all of us. All of these points that we have stated above, God will do it. God is able. He's able to put this same love in my heart. So I ask you, what is our part? just believe. Amen. Believe it and just yield to it. I know we fail at times. Get back up on the horse. Ride it again. So unto him that is able to do exceeding above, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you, that is the power of the Holy Ghost. Then verse 21. Unto him be glory. That's a big statement if you really think about it. This is the ultimate reason. God will ultimately have all the glory. We want him to have all the glory. The point with us is, as we find here in Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That is going to happen. But the beauty of it is, we don't have to wait. We can have it right now. It must be true in my life right now that I give him that place in my own life and experience, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, to know Christ's constant presence in my heart by faith, so that we are rooted and founded in love to be able to comprehend all dimensions and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what he wants. It is by faith that we really view God, as the Apostle Paul did here. Such experience may indeed exceed anything we have yet attained. They may exceed what we have even seriously thought of and prayed for, yet they are possible and realizable even in this life, according to the Holy Spirit's power which worketh in us. It is the express design of the Holy Spirit in recording this encouragement to us. The Holy Spirit's purpose here is the same as Christ in the closing section of that prayer which he gave to his disciples in John 17:26. God is able. God is able. God is able to bring us into a closer walk and a more constant fellowship with himself. And he's able to make all grace abound towards us and fill us with himself even more. The fact is, dear friends, we must believe he's able. Just believe. Divine love is the light, the life, and the way God has provided. Now, God is both life and light and the way, and to crown it all, God is love. From this overflowing fountain of the infinite love of God, all our love to him must spring. Maybe there's no greater verse in the Bible about divine love than this one. John 15:9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Jesus loves us infinitely, infinitely. He says, I love you. This is his answer. Is it not yours? Oh Lord, my Lord, it surely is true indeed. There is little need for you to tell me this with your own lips, for you have assured me of it by your wounds. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that thou lovest me, and I love you. This is the eternal ring forever, the love of God. I hope this has been a blessing. I think we ended early, but...